Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also enjoy all things spooky. We try to prioritize our self-care. So, Danae, what did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, I made my husband come with me to a yoga class. So we could hold hands in Shavasana.
Oh my God, that's like the most romantic thing I've ever heard. How was it?
It was good.
Was it really hot yoga or just regular?
I mean, it's always warm, but it was like a vinyasa class.
That sounds
so,
like fun.
Yeah, it was good. It was really nice.
Fun.
What did you do?
Well, okay, I'm going to be honest. Oh. This has been a hard week to do any self-care because we've been just, if I'm not at work, I'm at the house. And if I'm not doing either of those things, I'm sleeping.
Yeah, and by at the house, you mean renovating all of the shit.
So right now is my self-care.
Yeah.
Right now, like talking about true crime and not having to like deal with popcorn ceiling or, you know, heightened emotions.
Or a furnace not working.
Or, oh my gosh, guys.
The list goes on.
Our furnace stopped working. And mind you, it's been pretty okay this season, I would say, with like, it's, you know, obviously it's cold, but it's not that bad.
Yeah,
but
it's not.
The coldest days, our furnace was like, peace out, I'm out. And I'm like, okay, that's not going to work. Keith went and got the part, so it's working, but like we were afraid we were gonna have frozen pipes.
Oh my God. Hasn't it been like not even a week since you closed?
It was 48 hours when the furnace stopped working.
Okay, good.
I was like, oh, well, this is
perfect.
Exciting.
Happy closing.
And
to
then
us.
I went to like Walmart because like we still had stuff to do, and like it wasn't horrible because it was like middle of the day, and like the space heater shit out in the first like 2 minutes we had it. And then I was like, all right, I'm freaking out. So I went to Walmart again and I like returned it. And then as I was leaving, some lady's like, do you want to try it just to make sure? And I'm like, can I? And she was really worried I was going to like electrocute myself. She's like, let me plug it in just in case. I was like, okay. This is what we're doing. But it worked and it's great. And the furnace is working. And, you know, we just have... It's going to be a long road.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to hear about it because I'm going to complain about it a lot. But my self-care is not having to do house stuff and, like, taking a break and, like, you know, taking a breather.
Having some you time where we get to do stuff that we enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. So right now is my self-care. It's different for everybody. So, yay.
Nice. Well, what are you telling me about this week?
I'm going to tell you about the disappearance of Tara Calico. Kind of like the cat. So if you go to our email, you will see a photo, and it's obviously going to be on Instagram. I always have to mention that. But this is like a famous photo in true crime. It's you see these two obviously kids. The boy is quite young, the girl's like a teenager. And you see them.
Oh, fuck. I know this sort of.
Okay. So we all know
the
photo.
This photo.
We don't
know
the backstory of it.
Right.
The potential
backstory of it. It's like surrounded in
mystery, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So I just like, you see that photo all over, but who really knows the story? It's just kind of a blip. So it's just one of those things like in the listicles, which is kind of funny because for for our episode on stalkers, I credited a few things to like BuzzFeed listicles, you know, crazy celebrity stalkers. And like, that's one thing I credited, but this is definitely something that's been on some listicles, like myths, mysterious, like pictures and stuff.
Yeah. I got my story for next week off of the same listicle thing that I did from
I love last and hate episode. Listicles. I love but it. It's I would say one of the most popular photos, but yeah. there's kind of like really no backstory to it. So this is a potential backstory, but okay. again, you'll see.
Okay.
So my sources for this are Crime Junkie, Morbid, and Crime Weekly. And they all did a fantastic job. Just kind of talking about Tara. So it's pronounced Tara, and that's one thing that was kind of hard because when you see it, you always think Tara. So on September 20th, 1988, 19-year-old Tara Calico decided to go for a bike ride. And this was kind of a common thing for her. Mm-hmm. And she was just a really active girl. She was in Bowling, New Mexico. And this was kind of like a half hour outside of Albuquerque. So for reference, like Denver and Littleton.
Sure.
Kind of thing. And she was a sophomore in college. Her birthday was February 28th, 1969, which makes her a Pisces.
Oh.
A water sign.
Love
one of our signs. One of our peeps. So she did bike rides all the time, and she liked this specific like 17 mile 34 mile there and back bike ride.
Oh wow. That's
does cool. anyone you know that you're close to like bike rides? I don't know.
I wonder who likes bikes that I know.
Not like your husband or anything. Steven constantly just pointed at himself. He's like waving bikes. His hand like we're like who could that be. So she had plans that day to go play tennis with her mans at noon. And she also had class at 4, so it was about, like, 9-ish, you know? When she decided to go for the bike ride, she kind of told her mom that she was going to be back at 11:30. And she always stuck to a schedule. That was, like, one thing about her that they could always count on is that, like, when she said she was going to, like, be there at a time, like, she was very reliable.
Okay.
Like, she even had her tennis outfit laid out and, like, her notes for like, class.
She's, like, ready to go.
Yeah, like, girlfriends got it going she's on.
Organized.
So, not long before this, she had a flat tire, so she asked her mom if she could use her bike, which was, like, a total 80s, like, pink Huffy with, nice. Like, yellow,
like
wires and stuff. So,
oh, that sounds cute.
Yeah, I was like, I would totally ride that bike. And her mom was like, of course, you know, and she kind of jokingly, but maybe not jokingly, told her mom if she wasn't back at 11:30 to go check on her. Because she's like, I have to be back by 11:30 so I can get ready, go to tennis with Jack, her boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah,
a few months, 4 or 6 months, somewhere kind of in that vicinity.
Okay.
And, you know, she had previously gotten a flat tire. So it was kind of like, maybe if she got a flat tire, who knows?
And it's like on a road?
Yeah, and it's kind of on a road.
So it's not like a trail. So if her mom were to come looking for her, she could just like jump in the car and go look kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
The only problem is her mom was not crazy about this because her mom thought it was a really isolated path and it kind of made her nervous because she would go on bike rides with Tara and there were quite a few times where like people would kind of creep her out and she like a few months previous like had a guy like follow them and it made her really like nervous and everything.
Yeah, that's sketch, especially if you're like totally alone.
Yeah, and it's kind of like an isolated road, but at points it's busy, so it's kind of like either one of those things, so it just kind of made her nervous. But you know, she's 19, she's like,
that's typical mom worry.
Yeah, totally. And it's totally like 19, you're like, if he comes, I'll like punch him in the face. And it's like, okay. So she grabbed her Walkman and she grabbed her favorite band's tape, Boston.
Okay, like it.
More than a feeling. I've gone to see them in concert 4 times.
Oh damn. Okay.
With my dad. We hate Boston.
Are they geezers?
No, they're like, well, yeah, kind of. But like, they're still killing it.
Okay.
Every time I've gone to Boston, it's with Styx. I've seen Styx like.
Yeah, right? They always like tour
7 times, I think.
Oh, damn.
And it's either REO Speedwagon or Boston. So.
Okay.
I enjoy when it's Boston more, but REO, you know, can't fight this villain anymore. Anyways, so I was like, oh, Boston. Who doesn't love Boston? So 11:30 comes and goes, and, you know, Patty, her mom, was just kind of like, okay, whatever. You know, she that was her plan to get home. But, you know, Tara Moore said if she wasn't home by noon, because that's when she had plans.
Okay, so she said noon. So she gave herself a 30-minute
Yeah, so buffer. It was kind of like, you know, and just 11:40 passed, 11:50. And then she was kind of like, you know, her mom's senses were tingling. So at noon, Jack calls to make sure the plans are still on. And she's like, well, Tara hasn't come back. And he's like, oh, okay, you know, like, not a big deal, but still kind of weird because she was really dependable.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides to go on a car ride, just kind of like, which is quite a bit because that's like, you know, 17 miles. Like, there's a lot of area to cover. And
so scope it out.
Yeah. So she's driving around the road. She's not too worried. She's like, maybe she got a flat tire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's been known to get a flat tire.
And then she'd have to walk back, which would take for fucking
exactly,
ever.
Exactly. So she, like, goes. And then she doesn't freak out too much because she's like, you know what? We probably two ships in the night. We probably passed each other.
Okay, sure.
So she goes home and Tara's not there. And then she starts freaking out.
Yeah.
And they immediately, because of, like, what had happened previously with the mom and the catcalling and weird stuff, she called the police, and the police took it super seriously.
Oh.
And, you know, everyone's just like, this isn't her. This is not her. She doesn't
this
just
feels
go.
Weird.
And also, if you're going to run away, you're not going to tell your mom to come check on you. Like,
well,
you know, if
you
you're not home.
Why would you play tennis with your boyfriend at a certain,
exactly.
You know, like,
in class later that day. Yeah. So it doesn't make sense that she, like, had all this other, you know, stuff, and then she's like, time to leave town.
Yeah.
So police call for backup because it's quite a big area to cover, and they like get our ATVs and dogs, and 4 miles away they find bike tracks, but they don't go anywhere.
Wait, they immediately brought dogs in?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I think the mom kind of like, it doesn't state directly. It's just like the police took it seriously and there was like ATVs. So I'm wondering if this is kind of like a thing they dealt with, but it wasn't too reported that this was like a common thing. So who knows kind of like why it escalated so quickly.
They were on it.
But like, how great is that?
Well,
that,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, that they took the resources. So
usually it's like you have to wait 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah. Because I was kind of waiting for that response for them to be like, she probably, you know, or why anyway, she's 19.
Okay, so they really took it seriously. Time is of the essence.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And, you know, the road made her nervous. So I'm guessing she made a big stink about it. And they were like, okay. So 4 miles away, they found bike tracks, but they don't go anywhere. In fact, it kind of looks like a struggle ensued.
Oh, fuck.
So, you know, just the erratic bike tracks. And there were car tracks.
No.
And it did not look great. And part of a Walkman was there and the Boston tape. So that's kind of how they knew it was bright yellow. And they're like, okay, people have Walkman, you know.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be nervous right away. Like, if you found an iPhone, you'd be like, oh, okay. But then if you saw, like, a cat screen, you'd be like, oh, no, it's Kim's. Because I have that picture of the cat.
So, but the bike was gone too, though, right?
They didn't find the bike.
Okay.
And that's kind of like the biggest thing they were looking for.
Yeah.
So they find that and it's kind of like, ugh. So the police were able to find 17 witnesses, and it's just kind of like people who saw her just on the trip.
Oh.
So not like things going on. And, two farmers were like, they saw her, at like 11:30, and she's probably heading home at that point we're guessing. And, you know, and, you know, people were just kind of giving as much information as they could. And her family was, like, recruiting volunteers immediately. And really, unfortunately, that day it was, like, windy and rainy. And that could wash away evidence, which is
not... It was windy and rainy, like, the whole day? Or just, like, kind of after...
Afterwards? Because, I mean, she was going to go play tennis and she was riding a bike. So I'm assuming, like, it probably wouldn't have been, like... in that. But I think the weather got worse throughout the day. I mean, you know how...
Yeah.
Erratic weather can be. Hi, welcome to Colorado. So they were just worried that that's going to get rid of evidence. And 3 days later, they have 200 people looking, and more witnesses kind of came forward, and they saw Tara, and they saw her being followed by a dirty white Ford pickup truck with like a homemade camper on top.
Oh no.
And I don't really know what that means, like a homemade camper, but like, I'm just assuming they probably put like tarps or something. Who knows?
Well, you've seen the ones that are like literally built into, like, you can tell it's not like a manufactured situation, yeah. but people have like gotten steel or like wood or something like that and like made it into a camper.
Yeah.
And sometimes they look really nice and sometimes they look real.
You can tell who cares cute. And who does like, not care.
Oh, so you like to craft.
I think that it didn't look good because a lot of people are like, it was a homemade one. And I'm thinking like, if it was good, I don't think people would describe it as that. And I thought this was kind of strange, but like maybe this is like 80s, but people saw her being followed by the truck and all the people like, I don't even think she knew she was being followed by the truck.
Oh my God.
And it's kind of like, because she was listening to her Walkman. She had headphones in.
Yeah.
And I hate victim blaming, but ladies and gentlemen, if you are by yourself, at least have one out. Like, don't put both headphones in because, like, and I hate victim blaming like that because you should, in theory, you should be able to do all that. But mm-hmm. you got to be a little more cognizant of just your safety. If you're alone, I mean, if you're with other people, that's kind of weird. But do you?
Well, and it's like, it's almost that mentality of like, I saw something that seemed kind of off, but it's none of my business.
And that's where I'm thinking like 80s, was it like that kind of thing? Because I can tell you, if I saw some gentleman following a girl in a car, I would pull over in that area and I would call the police and I would be like, this is suspicious, this is creepy, because, you know, we look out for
because you'd be like having to like follow her too, you know, like to be aware of it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't leave the area. Yeah. I wouldn't be like, I'd go down the road. No, like I will call and like... I don't know, because girls now, like, you can walk up to any girl and be like, any girl would be like, you could be like, Alice, oh my gosh, it's been a while. Yeah. And you, like, do the wide-eyed look at the girl. And
girl code.
I think 90% of women would be like, oh my God, it's so good to see you. Like, mm-hmm. if a girl came up and did that to me, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What's up, girl? What do you need?
Let me walk you home.
Yeah. I am. We are friends. Also, we're just doing that PSA. Somebody random girl comes up to you and, like, gives you a hug and says some name that's not yours. Go with it. So months go by and the case goes cold.
All they have is the Walkman.
Mm-hmm. And something they said was like, she had a younger like stepsister and the sister was just like, this isn't really happening. Like, we're going to find her.
She was just like in denial.
Yeah. It was just kind of like, this doesn't happen to us. This happens to other people, which I think like so many cases, people totally. Think like that. They're like, this isn't me. This is other people.
Yep.
So 1989, almost a year later, mm-hmm. like it was saying summer because this was in September.
Okay.
So her stepdad gets a call from a friend that's like freaking out and he's talking so fast, and she had a great stepdad. He like really cared for her and everything, and he was just so excitedly, and her stepdad's like, oh my gosh, like calm down. And on Current Affair, which was like kind of like an Unsolved Mysteries or like Dateline NBC kind of thing, mm-hmm. 60 Minutes, and Current Affair just kind of made me laugh because there's a scene in Dumb and Dumber, if you've ever seen that movie, where they're like watching a current affair and they're like, he sold this blind kid a parrot without a head. And it was just, I don't know. That's all I could think of. And she's like, who are these sick people? I don't know. Okay. I think some people be like, I know what she's talking about. I don't
remember that part. It's also been many, many years since I've seen that movie.
So he called him to tell him that there was a photo on Current Affair and he thinks it could have been Tara.
Oh.
And he's like, okay. So the backstory on that is there was a woman at a store in like Port St. Joe, which is like in Florida. And she sees a man in the parking lot just in a white van, you know, because white vans are cool, just by himself, just hanging out.
Oh, God.
And, you know, she doesn't think much of it. Like, we've all sat in our car and like did something else.
Sure. Yeah.
So he drives away and she goes out of the store. Like, she's like, oh, interesting. She goes in the store. She comes back and there's a Polaroid on the ground. And this is going to be on our Instagram, but you, like, we tell you, go look at it. But this will make a lot more sense if you actually go look at it. And I'm sure if you like true crime, you've definitely seen it. If you look at stupid listicles like we do, they're not stupid. They're actually really, really helpful, but they suck up so much of your time. But it's this girl who's, like, a teenager. And you see her, she's got tape over her mouth. And her hands are behind her back and you don't see her feet. So who knows if she's tied up? And then you just see, and she's kind of like sitting on pillows and everything.
She looks scared.
Like, she looks really, really scared. She looks scared. Absolutely.
And kind of like, I don't know, like dazed.
To me, you know? It doesn't look so much scared. It looks more like, I hate you. Like, you just kind of see, like, annoyance more.
Yeah.
I think in the little boy just looks helpless, kind of in the back, just like, I'm here too. Yeah. Like, it looks like he wanted to be in the photo. But he also has tape over his mouth. And, like, again, we can't see their hands.
What's next to her? Batteries or something?
I'll get into that. That's important. So, yeah, mouth's taped, hands behind their back, and there's a book near her, and it's by V.C. Andrews,
and that's her favorite author.
Yeah, she did Flowers in the Attic.
Flowers in the Attic, which is so incestuous.
Petals in the Wind. The I mean, whole it's incestuous as shit, but it's, like, still a good book, because you're like, holy shit. So, and that was always Tara's favorite author. So, mm-hmm. It kind of, like, was like, oh my god, V.C. Andrews, that's crazy. That kind of connects, and the woman describes the man. So back to like in the thing, in the parking lot, the woman describes the man in the van that he has a mustache. So obviously, right there,
so highly specific.
He like has dark hair and like a mustache.
A I'm man
like,
in oh the '80s God. Has a mustache. Like what? Thank you for that description.
Thank you. We found him.
She tried her best.
We're done. So her stepdad calls to get in contact and he heads down to Florida because if it fell out of the car, it means she's there. That's what I'm thinking. That wasn't said anywhere, but I'm like, because people are like, why don't you go to Florida? And I'm like, well, probably because she's there if they found the photo.
It'd be at least a good place to start.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Find that dude.
And her parents think it's her. And they're like, oh my God, she's alive. Maybe, but like, who knows? But it gives them like renewed hope.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing and a bad thing, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
Because there's, on the picture, there's a scar on the leg that Tara has. Oh. And there's a phone number on the spine of the book.
Oh. I guess I can't really, like, it's.
But you can't see it. Yeah. And they did a lot of zooming in and they couldn't figure it out. So there's a boy named Michael Henley. And his parents are also grieving the loss of him. And he was also missing in New Mexico.
Oh.
So they're like, you know, maybe oh my gosh.
Connected.
Connected. Maybe it's him. And
these
they didn't.
Two children
they couldn't
the
say
picture.
For sure if it was him. Like, Tara's parents were like, that's 100% her. And Henley's parents were like, that could maybe be him. Because he's not as clear.
Well, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
And it's also like, even after like having, you know, all of COVID where like half your face is covered. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, exactly. So it was 3 hours away from where Tara went missing. So not completely out of the realm of possibility.
Why would you, like, if you're a creep-ass dude with your homemade camper, why are you abducting two kids that are, like, completely different ages and then, like, tying them up? Like, what?
It makes no sense.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I guess I just don't understand, like, the motive, unless it's, like, some weird, like, human trafficking or, like,
and it's 3 hours away, so it kind of makes you wonder why then.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So, the families have no connection, and Patty's just, it's convinced that it's her. She feels great. She's excited, and the Henleys are not. But he had kind of gone missing. Michael's been missing a little bit longer, but it's not also out of the realm of possibility that he had him for a while and then he saw, you know, a lot of crimes are crimes of opportunity, if you think about it. And, so they looked up the film, from Polaroid, and that one wasn't available until May 1989. So
okay.
It's summer, so it, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh, that means at least she was alive.
At least she was alive for a year.
And what they're thinking. So they did. So this is kind of all over the place. So in 2003, they did like a sample of the picture and with Tara, because they're still like, you don't know if that's her for sure. Like, calm down.
Oh, so they did like a digital, like.
Yes. So in 2003, the ears and hairline said, yes, it's absolutely her.
Okay.
2008. And the Albuquerque Tribune in 2003 it said yes, in 2008 it said no, it was not her.
Shit. Right.
So it was just changing. And she went to Scotland Yard, which I was confused about, and they also said yes.
Why?
But again,
they had like some sort of technology that maybe we didn't.
Yeah.
In America.
I'm wondering, because like that was also like.
That's interesting.
The 2000s, she had to wait. So I'm sure for that time, like, and you know. And Michael Henley, unfortunately, a few months later, was found in the mountains and he died from exposure.
Found in the New Mexico mountains? Mm-hmm. Or?
And he died of exposure.
Oh, fuck.
To the elements.
So oh, my God.
It wasn't that little, he like wasn't the little boy. And to this day, nobody knows who that boy is.
Well, they also don't know if that's even her.
Exactly. But the boy is the biggest mystery. Because it's like, how did nobody report this boy?
And if they went to Florida, like, why would they then come back to New Mexico? Unless maybe, like, weirdo kidnapper guy was in New Mexico and maybe he's taking pictures and, like, sending them to other, like, weird child
weirder perverts. Stuff keeps happening. So you'll, like, it's, yeah.
Okay. This is weird. This is, like.
So it's just, like, who's the boy? And also, people were wondering if this photo is fake. You can't see their hands or their feet. Anyone can put tape over. You don't see red marks around the tape like it was there for a long time. So
it's also Polaroid, so it's, like, not that, like.
Yeah, so their hands and their feet aren't even shown. It's just behind their back, so who knows if they're even tied up.
And that's the kid, too. Like, he kind of looks like he's like, I'm in the picture, too. Like, he looks kind of posy.
I get both ways, because I looked at it. It looks posy, but it also looks like he's just like, I want to make sure.
Look a little bit, like.
Scared. Yeah. It kind of looks like he wants to make sure he's in the photo, so he's pictured. Does that make sense, too? Yeah. But something that was noted was, like, there's not the red marks around it. You can't tell if they're tied up. So it could have been a fake photo. Who knows? And it could have just been somebody that looks like her. But Patty and John's her stepdad, they became, in 1991, auxiliary deputies.
What is that?
And auxiliary deputies are kind of, like, they have more rights than, like civilians and stuff. Like, you do have to do a background check. You have to do a lot of tests. Just to make sure. So you have more rights than a civilian. Like, you can look at reports and stuff, but you're not, you don't have as many rights as an officer. I had never heard of that.
Between?
Yeah. And I think that would.
How do you get that?
You just have to do a background check and there are tests and everything. Oh, so it's just kind of like.
So like you kind of like apply for it or
so,
something.
Yeah. So you can look at like reports and everything and they, and you can carry weapons. You can talk to officers in different districts and everything.
Oh, okay.
And,
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, basically more rights than citizens, but not as many as a cop.
Okay.
And Patty and John and the police just became friends. There was, like, a police officer that they became really close to that had previously lost a child to suicide earlier that year. So he kind of, like, was like,
his heart felt for them.
Yeah, which I think would be, you know.
I mean, losing a child, like, we don't have kids, but, like, I literally cannot even imagine
or fathom. No, it's the worst pain you can go through as a parent, I'm sure.
Like, I just, I can't.
Yeah, like, awful. And, yeah, so he became really close to them, and he really believed in their mission. Okay. Which, this, that's what good. I like about this story is, like, a lot of people are taking this more seriously than stories we hear where they're like, oh, run away,
right,
know?
And then you're like, you wasted 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And, so Patty just took this so seriously and it really affected her. Like, she would still buy birthday gifts and Christmas gifts and leave it on Tara's bed. So when she came home,
it would be there for
her. She still had her gifts and, you know, and it was like years into it. And people were like, Patty, you can't do this to yourself. Yeah. Like, you're hurting yourself. So the police officers cared so much and that to the point where they were like sending her to identify. So they weren't just sending it because they're like assholes, but they were sending her like pretty gnarly pictures, you know, just to be like, is this
Jane
Tara? Yeah.
Okay.
And she would look at them all, and a lot of those photos, like cops not being connected to it, had issues with it. So I can't even imagine, like, you could potentially be looking at like your daughter. And she confirmed all those photos were not Tara.
Huh.
So after a while, this weighed heavy on them, and they decided to move to Florida and get a new start.
Because they still thought that maybe that would be a good starting point, or they
just
chose Florida.
Somewhere different.
Okay.
Somewhere different. Just to, you know, because it's been a few years.
Palm trees.
Realistically, and they were very stressed. And Patty died in 2006 with no answers.
Oh.
And they say due to stress. and just broken heart.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
That's so sad.
But John, her stepdad, and her stepsister, Michelle, were like, fuck that. We're going to figure this out. Which, okay. Love that.
Okay.
Love that. So in 2008, a Valencia cop said that a cop named Rene Ribiera knows what happened and who did stuff to Tara.
What?
And that they didn't do it alone. They had people helping.
Oh, shit.
They said she died before even leaving New Mexico.
Oh, God.
And some teens followed her, catcalling and harassed, and accidentally hit her, and she falls off her bike. She threatened to call the police, and they flipped out and killed her. But they're not going to release the names.
So
he knows what happened. He knows what did it. But just out of nowhere, in 2008, there was just an announcement. We know who did it. We know what happened.
So, but they think that the photo then is just a complete red herring. Like, that has nothing to do with anything. We don't. That's not
the photo has nothing to do with this. With
Yeah.
So the so photo's the
news
just
story is like.
Yeah. So the new story is kind of like a thing. But yeah, the photo like didn't really equate into that. But that's a really good question, because it's like. That's something you're like, okay, what's going on with that?
Right. It's just
because it makes you wonder if
it's so bizarre. It's yeah. Like, why is there this photo that was found in a parking lot in Florida of like two people that see?
Well,
like,
do you see the photo of her and the photo of that? They look alike. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, I can see it, but like, I think that it just like throws me off, right? Like, it throws off the whole theory or anything of like what could have happened, because there's so many questions. So to have someone come forward and be like, oh, some kids were like messing around and they accidentally hit her, like, that to me makes more sense.
She's trying to call the cops and then they killed her out of like, yeah, exactly,
because they're like scared of getting in trouble.
Exactly. And,
like, but like the photo, it's just like there's just so many questions, and like I think it's just my mind wanting to fill in the blanks of like, what is it?
Where
what
does
happened?
The photo go into this? Is the photo Tara, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so that one's kind of a confusing like thing, but he tells, oh, that's what we figured out what happened, but we're not going to tell you the names, and we're not going to make any arrests.
I don't have enough.
We need more evidence.
Yeah.
And they were hoping to get the bike or her body, unfortunately. So it's like, why did you even go public with this without like, because more was like upsetting to the family. It's like, okay, so you know all this information, you decide to go public, because it was kind of like, yeah, we know what happened, but sorry.
But I wonder if that's also just kind of a strategy to be like, you know, we know information, we've got this, and then people who maybe like have been told something at a party, or like people who have heard rumors, maybe you're like, oh shit, they've got them, like I need to come forward. Maybe it's some kind of strategy to,
and it gets into something kind of like that.
Yeah, so bring people forward who may or may not have more information or think that they have relevant information.
It's just like, I feel like if you have that information, hold it in the back pocket until you have stuff, because I feel like it's just like, that's fine that
it's
you
like
kind of know the story, but it's exactly, it's like, wait until you have a little more information, because the family's like, then they're like,
on, they're holding on to every word.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just kind of like, who did it? Who did it? Well, we can't tell you, you know? So that's where I'm like, why would you say that? Anyway, so John and Michelle just kind of feel insulted, because they're like, cool, you know what happened, but you're not doing anything to figure it out. So then like faked photos, kind of like what they had with Tara, were sent into news stations and police stations, and they were like, are they mocking us? They felt like they were being mocked. That's kind of like,
ew, what? Like fake.
Yeah. Like
photos,
like
people
were
people
like
being
taking
bound and
and like it was like photos people took just to like, and they were mocking them.
Ooh,
like, 'cause it was the 20 year anniversary.
Ew.
I know. So sick.
Why?
And they're like, are they messing with us? And then Michelle's like, fuck this. And she takes the reins. And she's like, I'm going to keep my stepsister in the spotlight, because this is
hell yeah,
redamdiculous. So, October 2013, police decide to reopen the case. They have a task force being assembled, Homeland Security, police. There's no messing around.
Yeah.
There's no thing that, like, led to this, because like people are like, well, why? I think they were just investigating cold cases.
Michelle was just like, let's fucking do this.
And Yeah, she kept her name public, but I also think technology had changed. So they're like, maybe we can figure this out.
True. Okay.
So they were just opening cold cases, which I loved. So there was a guy named Frank, and he called with information on a deathbed statement that he got from somebody. And this guy named Henry Brown, he knows about Tara, and he lived down the street from another trailer. And he told the story of this guy. He would hang out at his trailer because they lived in the same trailer park, and they would like hang out in the basement. Mm-hmm. And his name was Lawrence Romero Jr.
Wait, they hang out in the basement of a trailer?
I don't know how that worked.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, what? Okay. I guess you.
Sure. Okay.
I guess if it's built into the ground and then.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyways.
Basement.
So Lawrence Romero Jr. and his dad was one of the head deputies.
Of fucking course he was.
His name is Lawrence Romero, not Jr. Like that?
It always turns out like that.
Always turns out like that.
Someone was connected to some fucking deputy or some shit, and that's why no one ever solved it, because it's like, let's just sweep this under the rug. Junior made a mistake.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
And you gotta realize this is in 2013. Dude. So this happened in 1988. So this is 25 years after the case.
Yeah.
So he saw a grave kind of thing, and he saw something wrapped in a blue tarp, and it looked like a body. And they were bragging about stalking her. And Lawrence's two friends, supposedly, this is just like talking big, kidnapped her. Took her to the gravel pits to sexually assault her.
Oh, my God.
And she was roughed up, but she still fought.
Good.
And they said that she threatened to call the police. So he stabbed her in the stomach and threw her in a pond.
Oh, my God. That's horrific.
Horrific. And Lawrence bragged about how he could get away with it because his dad, you know.
Ugh.
His dad was like head deputy that. And everything.
That makes me so mad.
But you gotta realize he had been dead for 20 years, and Henry was afraid to say anything for his life.
Lawrence
the
was?
Guy who'd made the deathbed confession about how he was at that guy's house. Lawrence had died 20 years previous, but Henry held on to this because Lawrence's friends were still alive, but it was his deathbed confession, so that's why he waited so long, because people were like, why did you wait so long? And he was like, I was scared. But again, hearsay, Lawrence is dead.
Yeah.
What, Lawrence Romero Jr. had been dead for 20 years, so it's just like frustrating. It's like no justice. And then in 2018, they kind of had no idea what the police and task force did, because like, what more can you do? And Michelle has a podcast, and she does the podcast with one of Tara's friends, and they just want to keep her story alive in case, you know, new information comes up, because you never know. Like, that guy waited 25 years to come forward because of fear, which I can totally understand that.
For sure.
Like, he's gonna kill some random girl, like, so.
And he can get away with it? Mm-hmm. What can he do to you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
And get away with.
Yeah. You're not as beloved, probably, as this Tara girl, so, like, who knows? It's just. So, in 2019, there's a $20,000 reward for info on this case that leads to figuring it out. And if you happen to know anything about Tara Calico, you can email tips.fbi.gov, and they'll give you directions on how to give them tips. Or 505-889-1300, and those kind of give tips. So, unfortunately, this hasn't been figured out, but, you know, her family's keeping it alive as much as they can. And I love that it's, like, her stepdad and her stepsister, because Patty fought so hard to figure this out. Oh, so, they kind of do it, you know, for Tara and Patty.
Wow.
But, yeah, so it's just. The reason why I picked this one is because we all know that photo, but we don't know anything much about it. And we still don't know much about it. I mean, it's still.
And someone knows something. Like,
it's still a big question mark. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, if people are coming with deathbed confessions years later, it's like, maybe that's not even who it was. Maybe it was somebody else, and maybe the killer's still out there. It's just, you never know. So it's always good kind of to bring these cases to life and just know this girl was like really loved, and unfortunately her life was cut short at 19 years old.
That's so young.
That's like when stuff's starting to happen.
Yeah, like so. You're just starting to like realize who you are as a young adult and like figure your way through the world.
And she had already like, you know, she had her shit together. Like she was a sophomore, she was doing well, like she had a boyfriend, like things were just going well for her. And so it's kind of like stuff like this. It's always good to kind of know the case behind, you know, this infamous photos, because there's a story to be told.
Yeah.
All those photos that were like, wow, that's crazy. There's a story with that. There's families behind that. And, you know, I really hope, part of me is like, I hope that photo's just a sick prank.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, there's sick people out there. You know, you can go both ways on it. Totally. Like, you're like, oh, I hope it's fake. But also, like, who the fuck would fake something like that? Yeah,
like, it's so creepy.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to give, like, the backstory of that famous photo, potentially. And, you know, unfortunately, it gave people hope that, you know, things were better. But they never figured it out.
Yeah. I feel like they're close.
Yeah. It'd be nice to, like, I wish we could, like, resurrect Lawrence and be like, what happened? And then like kill him again.
Oh god.
But so you know, we need suggestions, people. Like, I'm telling you, we love to cover cases that people tell us, because it's always kind of like, oh, that's a story someone wants to hear. Yeah. So if you have any suggestions, or if you want to tell us your self-care tips, or if you have any spooky stories, please send them to our email. And that's mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at mysteriousmavenspod. Give us a follow. Comment on our pictures. Yeah. Slide into our DMs.
All of the things. And we're also trying to like get our Facebook group going. So you can find us, Mysterious Mavens Podcast, on Facebook. There's a lot of ways, and we also have a website, mysteriousmavenspod.com.
yeah, so there's plenty of ways for you to reach us.
Yeah, so don't act like you couldn't, because you can. But yeah,
so yeah, reach out to us. Self-care yourself, take care of yourselves.
Yes, please self-care for yourself,
and we'll talk to you next time.
All right,
okay, bye.